Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Hey, we got some incredible people in our church. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, you're amazing. And really mean it. You're amazing. They are amazing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, hey, I have a word that God's put in my spirit, put in my heart for you tonight. And there's some things I want to share with you tonight. And there's some things that I want to open up in Scripture and just, you know, just sort of glean something out of Scripture. How many brought their Bibles tonight? Yes, good. Get your Bibles out. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You know, we are in an incredible season as a church. I know a number of weeks ago that I spoke a message on transition or the land between. The land between. How many people here feel that they're sort of in the between stage of their lives? Come on, be honest. There's some areas that you're in between. It's like, okay, I'm not where I used to be. I'm not where God wants me, or you know, I'm not at my destiny, but I'm in this in-between stage. And I feel that as a church, we're sort of still in that season of, okay, God, we're in this in-between stage. But that's exciting because God can do so much work in our hearts, in our lives, in this in-between stage. God did so much to the children of Israel when they were walking through the wilderness. So much He revealed Himself. But, you know, I want to talk to you about this kingdom that we're a part of. You know, it's a kingdom of love, it's a kingdom of joy, and it's a kingdom of peace. Come on. The Bible says the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So if you're experiencing sadness, maybe you're not in the kingdom. You know, if you're experiencing joy, that's the kingdom. If you're experiencing the joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's the kingdom. Amen. And you know, I love salvation. I'm going to tell a little bit of my testimony tonight and how I was filled with the Holy Spirit. But how many know that salvation is not only just a one-time event? And that's important, the moment that you respond to God, the moment you respond to that altar call and you put your hand up and you decide to follow Jesus, that salvation is not a one-time event. It's an ongoing process. It's a whole life salvation that we're in the process of. Amen. We're called to follow the Lord. We're called to follow Him. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So there's a working out that we have to do in our salvation. So it's ongoing. God's interested in your maturity. Turn to the person next to you and say, hey, I'm not there yet. Yes, I'm still on a journey. We're still on a journey. How many know that you're still on the journey of wholeness, of healing, of discipleship? We never arrive in this life, but we're on the journey of salvation. We're on that journey. God is interested in your maturity. He's interested in your discipleship. He's interested in your reactions, in how you respond. He's interested not only in how good you sing, but how good you are to your neighbor, to your friend. He's interested in, you know, your relationship with others. And this is what this discipleship journey is. Again, I love talking about this because I'm a pastor. I'm interested in your wholeness, in your healing, in you getting whole, you getting healed, you going on your journey. We should be all changing and being transformed and continually being transformed. Amen? Yes. Amen. Come on. This is interaction night, all right? So who do you want to be? So often we focus on what our gifts are and what we want to do in our lives, but God's interested in who are you becoming, Steve? Who do you want to be, Steve? What sort of person do you want to be? You know, how do you want to, what's your behavior like? God wants to change you. His goal for you is transformation. Amen? Isn't that right, Ali? Yeah. Amen. She's like, amen, Steve. You know, in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32, it says, the people that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Knowing, then being, then doing. Sometimes we get that around the wrong way around. We think we got to do in order to be, in order to know. No, it's first the knowledge of God, then becoming Christ-like, and we're still on that journey, and then doing great, amazing exploits because we know God and we're becoming his disciples. Amen. Knowing, being, and then doing. Anyway, let's get back to our scripture. Okay, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be in you, will be with you, will be with you. I love this scripture. I love the book of Philippians. Philippians is an incredible book. Paul wrote Philippians, and he had a love for the people of Philippi. You know why? Because it was the very first church that he planted towards Europe. It was the very first church that he established. It was established actually by a woman, Lydia. Come on, girls, come on. She was the senior pastor, Lydia, and she was actually a Gentile woman that got saved, and she planted this church. And so Paul had a real love for this church. And so this book is such an amazing book. The whole book of Philippians is an incredible book of just love and encouragement that Paul wrote to the church in Philippi. And he ended this book in chapter 4 by, you know, these couple of verses. And I want to look at some of these verses and see, okay, God, what do you want to speak to us today about? What's the invitation that you have for us? It's good when you read scripture to ask, God, what is the invitation? What's my invitation that you have for me in this scripture? You know, I feel that right now across our church, there's a bit of a battle going on. How many know that the enemy doesn't want the church to succeed? Does he? There is a war going on in the spirit. You know, the Bible says that we battle not against flesh and blood, not against people, but against principalities and powers in the heavenly realms. And so against thoughts and ideas, against principalities in the heavenly. This is the opposition that we come against strongholds. And the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not natural, but they are spiritual, to pull down those strongholds, to pull down those thoughts and those ideas that are against the knowledge of God. And I really feel right now, even as a church, we find ourselves in a little bit of a battle. It's like, okay, God, we're in this transitional period, but there's a war going on. There's you know, this religious spirit or this political spirit that wants to control the destiny of our church. It's the enemy. It's not against people, but it's the enemy. So this is a great opportunity for us to pray and realize that, you know, his kingdom is going to come. His will is going to be done. I have faith to believe that what God desires for this church is going to happen. Amen. Yes. I have faith to believe that. You know, like I said, the weapons of our warfare, they're things like worship. And we learned about that this morning in this morning service, about worship, about thankfulness, about prayer. But, you know, the greatest battle that we fight is between our ears. It's our thought processes. It's our minds, our insecurities, our anxieties, our fears, the intimidation that stops us from experiencing the kingdom. That's why, Jesus said it's so important, as so Paul said, it's so important to renew your mind, to renew your mind. Find out what the scriptures say and renew your mind to experience the kingdom. Amen. There's noise coming out of us from everywhere, but we have this amazing scripture to feed off, to renew our minds, to get, okay, what does God think? What does God say about me? What does God say about my situation? Amen? Amen. So Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians. He wrote it around about 61 AD while he was in prison. And like I said, he established this church when he was planning on traveling to Turkey, but through a vision, God told him to go to Macedonia and plant this church. And this was the first church in all of Europe. This letter was really personal. The theme of this letter is encouragement, is love, is suffering, but it's also joy, the theme of this letter. So if you have a look at this letter, there's a lot of references to joy and rejoicing in the Lord. The bookmarks for this letter are in the first chapter, being confident of he who begun a good work in you will also complete it. Yeah. Remember that scripture? And then in the last chapter, it talks about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yeah. So they're the two bookmarks of this letter. It's incredible. So between these bookmarks, he talks about joy, living with peace and joy in the face of suffering by looking at Jesus and the example that he gives us. And so I want to look at this scripture. And the first thing he says, rejoice in the Lord always, always, always. And again, I say rejoice in the Lord. There's something about joy that is a key for your life. There's something about joy that is a key for yours and my discipleship, our lives. There's something about joy that I think God is inviting us into. Really inviting us into as a church. In another version, it says, be cheerful in every season of life. In every season? Really, God? Even in the tough seasons? You know, even in the challenges? Yes. Because joy is not based on your circumstance. It's not based on the outcome. It's not based in the natural. This joy that Paul here is speaking about is a spiritual aspect of the kingdom. It's a spiritual fruit of the kingdom. Bible says in Psalm verse 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. So if we're experiencing the presence of God, there must be some joy happening. There's got to be some joy happening. It comes from a deep connectedness and abiding in Christ, abiding in him, that produces a deep joy that supersedes our circumstances. It supersedes our suffering. It supersedes the things that we're going through, this joy that he's speaking about. In the middle of grief and suffering, you know what? You can experience joy. The Bible says it's full of glory. It's full of glory. It's full of glory. You know, this joy is first and foremost knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah. First and foremost, this joy is the joy of your salvation, the joy of being forgiven. You've been totally forgiven. If you're a believer here today, if you've given your life to Jesus, if you've said the sinner's prayer, if you've encountered him, your sins are forgiven. There's no more shame, no more guilt. You're totally free. That's amazing. That's salvation. It's living with an awareness of that. And you know what? At times it is a choice. It's a choice. What am I going to focus on? You know, when I first got born again, I was first saved. I was 19 years old and I was in a church in Bunbury. My brother-in-law and sister were the pastors of this church. And long story short, maybe another time I'll tell you my full testimony, how I was a drug addict living in the laundry of the house where I hadn't had an encounter with Jesus and he saved me. But I gave my life to Jesus this particular Sunday. I came to church And they did the altar call, and I'm like, yep, I'm putting my hand up, I'm going out the front. I was crying, and God was doing a work in me. I gave my life to Jesus. I went home that night, but I didn't know that He'd forgiven me. I thought, okay, how do I actually know that Jesus had forgiven me, that I was saved, that I was born again? How do I know that? And so next Sunday, I'd come to church, you know, the preacher would preach, and they'd give the altar call, and Steve would put up his hand again. Steve would come down the front again and give his life to Jesus. Literally, this happened five times in a row, five Sundays in a row, because I didn't know that I was saved. I didn't know that I was forgiven. I didn't have the joy of salvation. Didn't have the assurance of salvation. So I remember going to this prayer meeting. It was on a Tuesday night. At the church, and you know, everybody was around and they were praying together, and I was there praying, Jesus, please forgive me, I'm sorry for all of my sins, Lord, I give my life to You. And I was doing this every single day, giving my life to Jesus. And someone came up to me and they said, I want to pray for you, Steve, I've got a word for you. So they're praying for me, and then they said, this is the word I've got for you. The Lord said to you, He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And as soon as this person said those words, that prophesied those words over me, I felt this liquid gold joy feeling just fill the top of my head all the way down to my feet. And I received the joy of salvation, the joy of forgiveness, the joy of salvation. And I'm telling you, it was the best feeling I've ever felt in my whole entire life. It was such a clean, pure, and not to be crude or anything, you know, obviously having a drug background, this was the best feeling I've ever felt. And guess what? It's never left me since I got born again. It was a baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was my first baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was a baptism of joy. I remember going to sleep that night, waking up the next morning, and my cheeks were sore from smiling so much because I had the joy of the Lord. It was what Peter described what the Bible describes in Peter. It was joy inexpressible and full of glory. It was full of glory. And that literally changed my life forever. And I remember going back and seeing my family a few months later, and they were looking at me and they said, Steve, your face has changed. There's something different about you. And I said, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's the joy of the Lord. It's full of glory. And that joy has never left me. The joy of knowing that I'm forgiven, I'm saved, I'm set free. The joy of knowing that Jesus loves me. This I know. Amen. Joy. The Lord's invitation for us is to live in that abiding joy. The joy of salvation. What did David write in Psalm 51? Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Joy. I'm telling you, this joy has been such an anchor point for my life. It's been such a compass for my life. In all of the circumstances and all the stuff, you know, that I've gone through, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, there was this dancer at our previous church a number of years ago, and she was an amazing Spirit-filled dancer and just used to dance before the Lord. It was absolutely beautiful. During worship, she would just dance, and it was just incredible. And I remember she couldn't get pregnant. Her and her husband, they were trying. And anyway, they got pregnant, and they were pregnant with twins, and we were so overjoyed, and everybody was so happy for them. But then she carried those twins almost to full term, and then they passed away in the womb. And it was just absolutely tragic and heartbreaking for this couple. And I remember the whole church was so, was so heartbroken for them and for this whole situation for them. And I remember a few weeks later during worship, I think I was leading worship at that time. And I remember as we were leading worship, suddenly something shifted in the atmosphere. And I'm like, what's going on? There's a shift in the atmosphere. And I looked to my left, and there she was dancing before the Lord. She'd come up on stage and she was dancing before the Lord. And I'm telling you, the whole atmosphere of that place just changed. But she was full of joy. Only God can give that sort of a joy. It was absolutely amazing. It shifted the whole atmosphere. You know, Jesus, he turns our sorrow into joy. That's what he does. That's a promise. But, you know, we need to position ourselves for that joy. Amen. Isaiah 61 verse 3, he says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, every painful place in your life, God's got joy for. God wants to encourage you and pour out joy in your life for that painful place. Because joy is not in external things, but it's in God. It's the confident expectation of God's goodness. It's hope-filled. So don't lose your joy. Remember when we planted our first church and we had some prophets come to the church and, you know, I'm like, okay, give me a word about planting the church. What, you know, what's this word that you can give me? And this guy came up to me and he goes, I've got a word for you. Don't lose your joy. And I'm like, is that it? I've got my joy. That's fine. But he said, no, 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 Steve, don't lose your joy. And I remember that because there were so many, situations that happened along that journey of planting a church that I could have lost my joy. I could have taken my eyes off Jesus and lost my joy. And that's been an indicator for me. Have you lost your joy? Have you lost your joy? Whatever season you're going through, there is joy for you. Amen? Amen. So don't lose your joy, that feeling of being forgiven. Remember your first love of being saved, especially in this season. I really feel that God wants to restore joy to his people. Joy to his people. Amen. It says here in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then it goes on, it says, be anxious about nothing. Be anxious. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and requests, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Don't, you know, this speaks to me about not being pulled into different directions. So often, worry pulls us into different directions. You know what worry is? It's meditating on the wrong thing. That's all it is. That's all it is. It's, we need to meditate on things that are good and godly and what God's word says. Don't meditate. As soon as you meditate on the wrong thing, you start getting anxious. You start getting worried about things. You start, you get pulled in a different direction. But, you know, he's saying here, ask. God longs to hear your prayers. He longs to hear your requests. It's like, hey, I'm leaning in. What's your request? What do you want from me? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Pray about everything. You know, one of the keys to overcoming worry is thankfulness. What are you thankful for? If you're worried here tonight, if you're thinking about your week and you're worried, start being thankful. What are you thankful for? Lord, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for my friends. I'm thankful for your spirit. I'm thankful for my church, for my family. I'm thankful for good health. Come on, start thanking the Lord. And suddenly it's like, oh, the worry is gone. I've got no worry. The Bible says to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. You know, in order to receive and walk in the peace of God that transcends understanding, you have to give up your right to understand. You have to give up your right to know it all. It's like, God, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what the outcome of this situation is going to be. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just going to give up my right to know. And as I give up my right to understand and to know, I give it to God. Wow, then peace comes. Peace comes. God's saying, just trust me. The peace that God has for you, it surpasses understanding. It transcends our understanding. It's higher than our thoughts. Because at the right time, God will bring the answers. That's that disposition that God inviting us into this life of joy, this life of peace, and finally, this life of worship. Verse 8, it says this, is there anything worthy of praise? Paul's reminding the Philippians that worship is key and central to their lives. Keep worship central. And when we think about worship, it's much more than just singing songs. So often we think worship is about singing songs and coming to church and we're doing the worship part now. We're doing the fast and the slow songs now. And, you know, worship is about how you treat your neighbor. Yes. Worship is about giving to the Lord. Worship is about forgiving the one that has offended you, the one that has hurt you, the one that you have a problem with. That's worship. That's worship. That's true worship. You know, another word for worship is love. Love. Keep your love on. Keep your love on. Keep forgiveness on. You know, this church in Philippi was birthed in worship. And I love this. This is absolutely incredible. Acts chapter 16. Amazing scripture. Paul and Silas. This story, I love this story. There's so much in this story that God has for it. I believe there's something here that is so applicable to you right now. Paul and Silas, Acts chapter 16 and verse 16. So just the first part of that chapter, this is all happens in Philippi. So they met Lydia and Lydia gets saved. She gets born again and she invites Paul and Silas to stay at their house, at her house. And then, you know, daily they went to the temple and they were speaking at the temple. But as they were going to the place of prayer, verse 16 of chapter 16 of Acts, it says, we were going to the place of prayer. We were met by a slave girl who had a spirit of divination, an evil spirit. It brought her owners much gain by fortune telling. So she was a witch. She had this demonic spirit upon her. She followed Paul and she cried out saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to you the way of salvation. And this she kept doing for many days. So she was mocking them. Then in verse 18, it says, Paul, having become greatly annoyed, he turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of gain was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and they dragged them into the marketplace before the rulers. When they brought them to the magistrates, they said, these men are Jews. They are disturbing our city. They advocate customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to accept or practice. And then the crowd joined in attacking them. So, you know, Paul and Silas, they did something amazing. They freed this poor girl who was bound up with this demonic spirit. They set her free, and what happened? Their owners started speaking false accusations against them and brought them to the magistrates, and they got the whole crowd to turn against them. That would suck, wouldn't it? If that happened to you, it's like, hang on, here I am witnessing to someone, and someone got born again and spirit-filled, and then someone else said, hey, you're doing this. That's wrong. And they started hurling accusations against you. That would be pretty bad, wouldn't it? You know, I love Paul and Silas. It says here they didn't even answer back. They didn't answer back at all. They were unfairly accused. They were betrayed, stabbed in the back. They had lies spoken against them. And they didn't talk back. How many of us do that? So someone's hurt us, someone's offended us, someone said wrong things against us, and what do? No, I'm going to justify myself. I'm going to say, no, that wasn't me. You're wrong. No. I love this spirit. I love their heart. They just took it. They didn't argue back. Even the whole crowd, it says here, turned against them. And then it goes on, and they beat them with rods. They gave orders for them to be beaten. When they inflicted many blows, not just like, it's. I love scripture, it says many blows. They were beaten and then they were thrown into prison and they ordered the jailer to keep them safely, and he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So basically, they were beaten, they were falsely accused, they were beaten, they were cast into prison, and then the jailer took them, not into the normal prison, but put them in the dungeon of the prison. I mean, prison back in the first century would be pretty bad, wouldn't it? It'd be smelly, it'd be dirty, it'd be like really bad, and probably not like the prisons of today. But this jailer took them and put them in the inner prison, the darkest, most dank prison. And I love this. It says, about midnight, verse 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. The last thing that you feel like doing when you're in a tough situation is singing and rejoicing in God. But here these guys were. They were singing and praising God. They were singing hymns to God. The prisoners were listening to them. And then it goes on, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. The fountains of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bonds were unfastened. So, I mean, I don't know about you, but just picture this for a moment. They're in the inner prison. They've got chains around their ankles and probably their hands as well. They've been beaten. They've probably got blood all over their backs because they've been beaten. They're singing and praising God. They're having a dance joy party. They're just going for it. Probably not dancing much because they, you know, their feet are in stocks. But they're praising God in the midst of their circumstances. I find that so confronting. I don't know about you. I find that extremely confronting. I love verse 25. It says in the Passion Version, it says, Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed and worshipped in the middle of the night and sang songs of praise while all the prisoners listened to their worship. They were undaunted. That word undaunted means not to be intimidated or discouraged by difficulty. Not to be disappointed. Not forced to abandon their purpose or their effort. It's like, man, after all they'd been through, I would be given up. I'd be like, I'm out. I'm done. These guys are worshipping Jesus and praising Jesus. They did not give up. You know, Ephesians chapter 6, it says, talks about the armor of God, and it says, having done all, just stand. Just stand. Remain. Have courage. Be brave. Man, I don't know about you, but I want that undaunted spirit in me. So here they are singing, praising God with thanksgiving, with joy. The prisoners were listening. I mean, think of the atmosphere in the inner dungeon. It would have been so negative. There would have been cursing and swearing and crying and suffering and depression. But these two guys are singing songs of joy. Incredible. And I love that the prisoners were listening to them. They've never heard anything like this. What is going on? Then the earthquake happened. Every door was flung open. All the chains came off. And then the jailer is like, he woke up and he's like, he's about to kill himself because he's thinking everybody's run away. But they were all there. The prisoners were still there. I find that amazing. The freedom that Paul and Silas were singing about was more attractive and tangible than the freedom of walking away from the jail. So then the jailer and his family get saved, and they start a church with Lydia in the city of Philippi. So Paul loves this church. He's like, this is how the church was born. I love it. That's why Paul could say, rejoice. Don't worry. Just keep praising God. Be thankful because victory is coming. You know, there's been times in my life where I've been in situations where there's nothing that I can do except worship Jesus. There doesn't seem to be a way out. But so all I can do is just worship Jesus. All I can do is keep my eyes firmly fixed on Him and start singing songs of joy. not depressing songs, but singing songs of joy, of freedom, of salvation. I'm telling you, worship is such a key for a life of joy and peace right now in this season. In verse 8 of Philippians 4, it says, keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real, honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising Him always. Put into practice the example of all that you have heard from me or seen in my life, and the God of peace will be with you in all things. I know there are people here that you're struggling with some situations in your life. You find yourself in a challenging season. There's something challenging going on in your own personal life or maybe in your family. And you're trying to work your way out of it. You're trying to understand what God is doing. Sometimes you just need to worship. You just need to get your eyes off your situation, off your circumstance, and lift them up to Jesus and start praising Him and start worshiping Him and watch what He'll do. An earthquake will happen. A seismic earthquake will happen. The supernatural will break out. I've seen it time and time again in my life. Because you just worship. I feel that God is going to release grace for you. Why don't we stand to our feet? Let's get the worship team up here. There is a key that God wants to bring to you tonight in this season. I want you to close your eyes right now, and I want you to think of a very challenging situation that you're going through. What's a challenge that you're facing right now? Might be something in your personal life, might be something in your work, something in your family, might be something with your health, maybe a situation that you just can't find hope in or you can't find an answer in. I want you to close your eyes and think of that situation. Now I want you to hold out your hand and put that situation in your hand. Right now, this is a little prophetic act we're going to do. That challenge. Now, I want you to just lay it down at the feet of Jesus. Lay it down. His invitation for you right now is to lay it down. Lay it down. The Bible says that His burden is light. It's easy. His yoke is easy. And so this heavy burden, this challenge that you're facing, I want you to lay it down. And right now, we're going to worship Jesus. We're going to fix our eyes on Jesus. And right now, I'm believing for joy to break out. And this joy is much more than a feeling. This joy is glorious. It's glory. It's glory. It's glory. And it's going to bring healing to you. And I just really sense God is going to heal some people right now as well. He's healing hearts right now. That challenge maybe in your body or your soul that you're facing, He wants to bring healing for you right now. Because He's a good Father and He's got good gifts for His people. You know, theology must lead to experience, which then must lead to fruit. That's how the kingdom operates. We learn it, we receive it, we experience it, we experience this joy, which leads to transformation. Something's happened. I'm different. God's done something in my life, in my heart. Right now, we're just going to worship the Lord. I just want you to put away all distractions. Let go of those challenges, lay it at the feet of Jesus. And we're going to worship Jesus. We're going to fix our eyes upon Him. We're going to be joyful in His presence. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. We're going to dance upon that injustice. Dance upon that challenge. Because we're seated in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers. And I believe there's going to be healing that's going to take place right now. So come on, let's begin to worship Him. Let's begin to worship Him. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.